And we are live on The Side Quest, your weekly journey into the world, the beautiful world of video games and video game culture and everything in between there. As usual, I think I'm still Dolly Domofsky. I try to remember. I have my family usually yell at me my name that I know it's my name. Joining me as usual, right there on your screens will be the __ J, JJ Holder. How's it going, JJ?
Oh, it's going great.
It's going great.
Yeah. Having a good day today.
I always love your rooms because you have all that awesome, like...
Got a bunch of bullshit hanging out in the background.
It's just so cool.
And see what's going on now.
That's so cool. Yeah, it's not like Phil Spencer. Like, I have to find out what project you're working on by what's on your shelf in the background. Blue Ranger. You're working on Power Rangers. Yeah. Right over here. It's funny. I have to look at my camera and find out where it's actually going. The one, the only... Ariel Knight, Neil Jones, how is it going? I'm going to call you both throughout this episode. First of all, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking me on. We set this up super quick. I think you asked me yesterday.
I think it was as soon as the Nintendo event ended, and I'm like, dude, congrats. Also, are you free? And you're like, yeah, sure, no problem. Sounds good.
I try to do as many as I can, but you weren't the only one. I can imagine. Yeah, 50 invites.
It's cool. I mean, I can't even imagine all the how swamped you are and you're gonna continue to be for a while now. That's gotta be awesome. I want right now, I'm gonna let everybody know the game is that you're developing. I'm actually gonna show it right now. Here we go. I'm gonna hit the play button. This is the video. Oops, here. Ariel Knights Never Yield.
Don't look at them comments.
Yeah. never look at the comments. I'm gonna turn off the audio for a second here so we can
specifically hear YouTube comments.
Specifically YouTube comments.
You'll only get good comments from us here. First and foremost, it looks awesome. The art style from top to bottom art style. I was playing the demo earlier and dying a lot, as I'm very good at doing that in any type of runner game, any type of platformer game. I'm well known on the site for being pretty horrible, but I completely enjoyed in this mode too, which is kind of the bonus stage modes. Completely enjoyed just sitting back and watching, looking at the game, looking at everything that you were doing with it. So, I mean, kudos to you for really working the style into the game.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I spent a long time doing art. It's been 2 years just doing art and doing a runner style game. We've been calling it a narrative runner because, mm-hmm. It has a story. It has an ending. It doesn't go on forever. But it's still a ton of art. If the character wasn't running, if you were just walking, it'd be the game would be 5 times or 10 times as long. Just because, and then all of the art was pretty much handmade, mm-hmm. Or hand modeled. Just a lot of time doing art that people are gonna run by in a second and never even think about.
Well, I mean, that's you're right. You're constantly running, and you do mention it's a narrative runner, and there actually are some cool kind of narrative elements. Even the demo, I noticed a couple cool things here and there. Sometimes you're moving so fast in a lot of games like this that you don't get a chance to really kind of enjoy the visuals. But I think, one of the things that really kind of turned me on was the way you guys have been really kind of developing the style, where it's not there's not a bajillion tiny little details, but there are just enough details that something will catch your eye and you'll be like, oops, I died. I'm going to go back and see that again because I just missed that, So it's almost like it's tempting me to kind of, replay the section again. I mean, that scene right there, even the grass when you're running through the forest and kind of that one of the first parts of the level one stage is pretty cool. But I think to me, you've mentioned or it's been described as a Tokyo, Neo-Tokyo / futuristic Detroit.
Yeah, it's just a combination of a lot of stuff that I liked. Detroit, how Detroit feels. It's not like a one-to-one representation of Detroit at all. It's just, my Gotham City version of Detroit. A little bit of anime inspiration. And just mashing everything that I like together, really.
Yeah, it's so cool.
I love it. I love the. I'm always a sucker for anything. It's like neon soaked version of a skyline or something. Like it's always. Yeah.
I try not to do it, to overdo it. Yeah, I feel like a lot of places, a lot of things overdo it.
Exactly. No, it's the exact right subtle amount of that kind of thing going on in there. It's really smooth and slick. I love the look of it all the way through.
Thanks.
Yeah, it definitely captures, even like I mentioned that bonus stage before, but it captures a lot of those cool little elements that I've been growing up on, you know, the little bit of the nostalgia over the years. You mentioned, you know, some of the things that you've been into. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, I don't know if I'm consciously like seeing Akira in some of this, but maybe in the back of my mind, it's like seeping through, but you know,
the jacket.
It might be Akira.
I put a jacket on him because originally I wanted it to like flow in the wind and do all these cool effects, but yeah, you don't want to do that with like an indie game and trying to, it becomes a mess. So it became real static, but I like Akira. I've only seen it once. Okay. I kind of like Akira. I don't love
Yeah, it's Akira. Not like it'd be your, yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's not where I was at when, you know, everybody was hyped up on it. I was like, more still in the Power Rangers, Yu-Gi-Oh! Type of phase.
Sweet. You know, and so, I mean, we talked about the art and the kind of the style from there. The music was awesome. I mean, I could like listen to these tracks. You're gonna have to put the soundtrack out. Actually, the soundtrack, there was a tweet by, I think was a Head Up or someone that I may have even retweeted it, talking about the soundtrack. Tell me about the soundtrack, because like, the soundtrack's awesome on this.
Yeah, my friend Dan, you know, Detroiter like us. I'm sure you ran into him. Mm. Yeah. He's pretty much done the soundtracks or the music for all my little side projects. So he was like the only choice I was going to go to. Daniel Wilkins. You know, if you go to my Twitter, just scroll for like 2 seconds, you'll be able to find him. He did the whole soundtrack. I went to him with the first level and I was like, man, I really need some music for this. It's supposed to be really anime-like and, you know, like Detroit / you know, the Tokyo type of feel. And we spent like good 2 months going back and forth trying to get the first song and nothing worked. And then I think I showed him a clip of Cowboy Bebop or something along those lines. It was most likely Cowboy Bebop. And we kind of just based it off of that at first, and then we put a little bit more hip hop in, and then it really like I remade the first level around that song, and then we kind of just did each song like that, where I would do the like basic outline of a level, give it to him, and tell him like the theming of the level and like where the story was going to be, and then he would try to do a song that kind of fit that, and then I would take the song and then like move like the level around a little bit more to kind of fit even more. So that's why the levels like kind of feel meshed well with the music, just because it was a lot of back and forth and they were made at the same time.
It's funny is as I was playing the demo earlier, there were times with the music, the way music's playing, that I almost kind of felt like the music's the beat, there's a certain like, you know, the rhythm is like asking me to like, all right, I need to hit left. I need to slide under or something. I don't know if it was subconscious or not, but it was almost like, maybe, well, whatever it is, you did a good job of it. You guys did a great job because it almost kind of leads me to kind of tap at the right time. So, and maybe it's just everything is synergy that way.
It's definitely weird because it's not a
rhythm.
It's not a rhythm based game.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, like if you play the game on mute, it doesn't feel the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's the synergy between the two is perfect. Like I said, it's not a rhythm game, but it has the feeling of a rhythm game almost. Like I know I'm not playing and I'm not doing the jumps to the BPM or anything, but it feels like you are. Mm-hmm. And they're so perfectly in tune with one another, the gameplay and the soundtrack. And it's fantastic. I loved it. I loved that music. That music felt so good in that game. Yeah.
That's going to be soundtrack on repeat for sure. I think, you know, and the way that, you know, you get in a little bit of their narrative elements, and I know you, in like other interviews and stuff, descriptions that you've put in, is that like, you know, you're kind of bringing elements of like cultures that aren't really showcased in this way. And you're kind of bringing them to the forefront here. And it's kind of cool. You can see it in everything from the narrative side, which I think it was, I mean, you'll explain it better than I will in a second here, but from the narrative side to the, even the way that the character kind of jumps and does the motions and stuff. I'm like, this is different than what I typically see of like Mario doing jumps on a speed run or, you know, other runners. Like, there's actual emotion and there's actual like feeling to everything that's kind of happening in here. There's like a purpose to everything.
Yeah. So, like if you look at the character, like you can tell like, he has like one, like, you know, metal leg, and I kind of have him favor that because that's where he gets like all his speed and, you know, the light, you know, enhanced abilities from. And as far as the story goes, you know, with all of that and it being tied into it, I intentionally leave it, you know, very vague. You know, I have those cutscenes that happen at the beginning of each level, but I definitely leave it up to like players and, you know, just people who run across the game to try to figure it out, come to their own type of conclusion. And as far as, you know, adding culture and stuff into the game, it's more of the music and just, doing stuff to the environment. Nothing, you know, super intentional, just kind of like stuff that I wanted to make or just felt like making that day. I would be like, hey, this would be cool in this level. And I would just make it and throw it in. And that's the best part of making like your own type of game. You don't really have to ask permission from anybody.
That's a great quote right there. You know, I love that. That's so true. How many folks are helping you on the project? Because then you mentioned Daniel and
it was me for the first like year and a half, like pretty much more than half the game. The game was pretty much done before I got a publisher. I got a publisher and they played the game and was like, you know, this should probably be a little bit longer. And I was like, sure, you know, I need another year and some money to like get some help. they helped me out with some porting issues, and then ID at Xbox helped out with, you know, getting some help with stuff that, you know, I couldn't do by myself with, you know, a lot of like porting to like Xbox and looking into porting to other devices and stuff like that. And then I just spent like a bunch of time just making a bunch more levels, going back and forth with Dan. So it was me, Dan, and then I had assistance with, you know, porting from the publisher, and then two other guys from the studio called Ludopium. But, you know, that was it, really.
Wow. Yeah. I mean,
the initial prototype, I had some help from some people at LTU because I was just like trying to throw something together real quick, and like they really helped me with the prototype, and it was dope.
That's cool. LTU is, for those that are listening, is Lawrence Tech University over in Southfield, Michigan. There's surprisingly one of the few schools in the area that I know of that has a strong enough game development department there. So that's really cool. Anyway, so I, you know, it's like a passion. It's like a passion project for you, because you've had other projects. You know, scrolling through your site, you've done a bunch of stuff too, at different, you know, different amounts, but this feels like this is the one that's really been your focus and really been sort of that passion side.
Yeah, well, it was gonna be my last game. I was kind of like tired of applying for jobs and trying to get into the game industry, and you know how it is in Michigan. We don't really get any like opportunities, and especially me, I traveled all over the country trying to like get an interview. Couldn't find my way in at all. It was going on like 10 years of me looking. Wow. So I was like, you know, I made my, you know, little side projects, you know, just to, you know, have, you know, something in my portfolio. But this one was like the first actual game that I was like, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to make this game for me. If other people like it, cool. But if it totally bombs and everyone hates it, then, you know, I'm just going to find something else. You know, I'm about to be 30. I still got time to find, you know, a career that's working out for me, right? I just happened to like, well, not me, but other people just happened to like kind of like the concept I came up with. So I got extremely lucky with the game that was going to be my last game.
That's awesome. And now, you know, for all you know, you might be getting a bunch of calls.
Oh yeah,
we need you to work. Come on this project. That'd be cool. I mean, this is awesome. It's cool that like everybody has a different story. Every game dev has a different story, and everybody comes at games in a different way. And you know, some folks never get that chance. Some folks finally get that chance. Seems like it to get that passion project. Some of us are just, you know, I'm still just using RPG Maker, and I'm making games for my daughter and I now. But
hey, and that's dope too.
That's dope. That's totally right. But so the game is, it's coming May, right?
May 19th.
Awesome. Switch and PC first. Is that the first two that have been announced?
Everything.
Okay.
Cool. Out, awesome. On everything. PlayStation, both of them. Xbox, both of them.
That porting process must have been a journey, right? Just learning all
that. It was a whole year. It was a whole year.
Wow.
The game was like, you know, basically put together a while ago. But yeah, porting, localization. It's in multiple languages. I don't remember how many languages it's in. But yeah, it's a lot.
Fantastic. That's cool. So I'm looking at all the stuff on the wall behind you. I mean, you have everything from Black Panther to Cuphead to, you know, everything in between. There's some awesome artwork back there. I want to ask you about some of the influences just overall. You mentioned Cowboy Bebop, which I hear from so many friends and stuff. And like, it's like noted in the, I mean, JJ, I know, is a big fan too. It's like noted around like anybody who grew up in any level of anime and like gaming is like, it's like Cowboy Bebop. Like, all right, maybe I should eventually watch Cowboy Bebop. Maybe I'll get into it. But
I mean, it's not like crazy good. Like,
it's not like the Bible of anime or anything.
Right. It's not like the Bible. It's just like really chill and solid.
Okay.
No, right. I feel like, I know I'm going to get so much crap, but I feel like it's like the, it's like the Family Guy of anime or, you know,
How it relates. Okay.
But you know, where, you know, it's a solid go-to, you know.
Okay. All right.
But like, you know, that. Imagine like if Family Guy was like three seasons and it was all just masterpieces. Like, you'd be like, I'm just gonna watch Family Guy, you know, whatever.
I love Family Guy too, so that's good.
Yeah, and I'm like, all the episodes, well, most of the episodes of Cowboy Bebop are just like solid good episodes. It's the Boondocks. Cowboy Bebop is the Boondocks of anime.
There you go. Yeah, got it. Sweet. It's, another awesome show.
It's got. It's also one of those ones that you can just say, like, you can watch this one because you know there's not going to be something in it that's going to be like weird anime stuff that's going to put somebody off. Like, listen, there's no weird, your typical Japanese nonsense that people are really put off by with a lot of this stuff. Don't worry. He's not going to hit on a high school girl or something. Fine.
I like all that weird anime.
Oh, yeah. For me, I don't care. But for the person I'm recommending stuff to, you got to sort of be careful.
Nope.
They're going right
into the deep end.
You got experience right there. You go put them right in the fire there. That's awesome. Yeah. What
like you start them off with Death Note.
Oh, Death Note.
It has everything. You just throw them into the deep end, be like, yo, if you like Death Note, then
you'll like a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Right?
But if they hate Death Note, then anime just probably ain't for them in the first place.
Yeah, you're not gonna find anything.
I think we're about to start an anime podcast after this. Teach Dolly the right anime. Because I grew up on like older anime, like Record of Lotus War and some other stuff. So I've got to get into some of the newer classics.
Hey, the newer stuff is real good.
Yeah, there is some really cool stuff. Yeah, there's some good stuff out there. So, I mean, you mentioned anime. What are other influences for you? Just gaming or pop culture or whatever. Like, what other things influence you? Music, whatever.
It was really random over 2 years. Yep. You know, it's whatever kind of like hits you at the moment. Like you'll see the outfits in the game that you unlock is all references to 90s characters that were like, they were black, but you know, and they were shown as like green and blue or whatever. You'll see them with, you know, I can't say any names because you know you stole this outfit or whatever. Okay, no, this is my interpretation of something that looks similar to that outfit. So.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I pulled from everything. Cool. It wasn't like a singular thing. But you know, just you know, like I said, anime, you know, dope black comic books and TV shows and movies and stuff like that.
That's sweet. That's awesome. I think there's always like you mentioned, I mean, you know, you can get new influences along the way and kind of embed those in there too. That's cool. That's cool. That's cool. So what, to move on, what are you playing these days? I mean, do you even have time to play any games right now? Or are you just head down, finish the project?
Yeah. It's like the past year, it's been pretty much head down, finish the project, but I did make a little bit of time to play Persona Royal. Then I played Persona Strikers. I finished that like last weekend.
Okay.
Man, those, like, I hate playing those type of games because they're so long that I could have played three other games instead of playing those one games. They were good.
That's the joke with the rest of the staff and me is I'll play like a JRPG and it'll just be like 18 episodes in a row on the podcast that I'm talking about like Octopath Traveler or Bravely Default, and I'm like I'm not going to get into Persona yet at the moment. I'll wait till it comes out on Switch or whatever so I can have it handheld, because that's all I'll be able to talk about. It's too long for me. But they're great. I mean, the you know, I love the style of those games too. That's awesome. Yeah. So yeah, sweet. What's your I'm gonna throw something out there right now. What's your favorite game of all time? Like, what's your go-to? No More Heroes. No Pressure. Oh, okay.
Yeah, No More Heroes.
No More Heroes rules.
That's it. We're getting Suda on. Yeah, I love that game.
It's so good. I haven't played I played it once.
Okay.
And then I like sold my Wii to get a 360 or something like that. Yeah. But I always wanted to get it back. But then I kind of refused to play it again because I feel like it wouldn't live up to like my imagination. Sure.
you need to lock those memories in place and just let it be how it is.
Yeah, I just remember like that game was just crazy. Mm. And like, but it made sense at the same time. It wasn't like it was random craziness, but it kept the story going, and you know, it's not, you know, it embodies like his whole catalog and that studio's whole catalog of, you know, this all is like, it has a feeling to it.
Sure.
You can't, if you play one of the games, you'd be like, was this made by that studio? Or, you know, is this from like one of Suda's teams or whatever?
Yeah. Killer 7 and No More Heroes really aren't like similar games, but you can tell that the art is from the same exact person. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the feeling of it more than anything. Like the choices that were made. And like, you could really feel the person's like personality or humor through it. Which you don't really get in like a lot of games, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of games, like, you play it and you're like, this could have been made by anybody. You know, the mechanics are cool, but you know, I don't really feel anything from it.
Yeah. There's really only a couple of developers that like you can tell are like, oh, this is definitely this is definitely a Suda game. This is definitely you know, a Kojima game. You just know. Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, I've been hesitant to pick it up again for that same reason, because I know it's out on Switch right now. I'm like, if I play it, am I going to remember? Is it going to feel different now? Because that was really of its time back then, you know. And they improved some stuff. I mean, it's in HD now, and the controls are, I think, slightly better too. But I'm like, it felt different back then with the Wii and all that stuff. Because I remember, still remember shaking that Wiimote, man. That was a whole part of it.
That was the funniest thing. Yeah. I love that part so much. But I never played 2. I missed out. I just didn't have a PlayStation at that time. Or like, I forgot what else it came on.
I think it came out on PS3 as well, right? I think the second one did.
Yeah. I think the second one did. And then... you know, I ordered the two games from Limited Run. So
nice.
I don't even think I'm gonna play them. I'm just gonna look at them.
The boxes alone are visually stunning enough to.
Yeah, to if I ever run and like get to go to like Grasshopper Studios or Misuda or whatever, I'm just gonna take them and be like, sign everything for me, please. You guys are awesome. But I'm definitely going to play 3. Like, I feel like 3 is a good jumping on point, because I'm like, I don't have to compare it to 1, and I don't, you know, it's been long enough.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Nice.
That's cool. So what was it like? All right, so I'm going to talk just this past year with all the press you've been getting and showing up on, like mentioned Gamescom, the Nintendo Indie World thing. I mean, all the eyeballs were on you. Like, what's that feeling like to get something out in front of people? And obviously we mentioned, don't read those YouTube comments. That's something we all know about, but like, you know, you're out in front of like a lot of people when your video drops, your trailer drops, and all of a sudden you're getting, like you mentioned, you're getting bajillion requests. Like, Does it get overwhelming, or what's that feeling like? Or is it just like, wow, cool? I did it.
Yeah. I thought, you know, it was going to be hype all the time. Like when I got that first request to be on like a showcase or something like that, I was like nervous, and I was like I'm going to make y'all this custom content and like custom, like here's like these new screenshots and this new trailer I put together just for you. And now I'm just like, hey, that's dope. Let's do it. Like they told me about the Nintendo thing that was a couple months ago, and said that I had to record a video. Mm-hmm. Other than sticking to a script, because I'm really bad at sticking to a script and memorizing stuff.
Sure.
I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna sit here and say these lines, and you know, and I had to do a lot of takes. It ended up being almost 100 takes. Wow. Before I got getting that. It was more of an audio issue.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to do it on my laptop and my phone and then microphones and stuff like that. That's when I ordered this thing. And even this thing had issues. It was like, it's not clear enough. And like, you can hear in the video, if you watch it, that it still sounds like muffled. They finally gave up and was like, look, we'll just use whatever.
If you had to order a bunch of stuff, like just equipment for that kind of stuff over the last like a year, just to
I ordered this camera. It's $100.
Nice
freaking webcam. Yeah, I mean, it comes in handy, but you know, after this, like sickness, disease in the air stuff is over. I don't know if you know you get in trouble for saying the name, but
there's no monetization here. You're fine.
We don't worry. We're not monetizing. Go ahead. Logitech, who cares? Doesn't matter.
After COVID's over, you know, I don't know how useful a lot of this stuff was going to be for me. But,
sure.
As long as it works now, it's all good.
That's all that matters. You couldn't find a webcam for like all last summer. It was pretty crazy. Good luck trying to find something.
Yeah.
All right. So it's come May 19th. It'll be out on everything. You put a ton of work into it, and it's just awesome. Like, I already had a few comments from local folks too that were like happy to see, you know, John, our good friend John. He's like happy to see Detroit Dev on there. It's just awesome, and you know, looking forward to seeing, you know, getting our hands on the full game and really going through it. Because like I said, I've played, I think, I don't know how many levels were on the demo, because I died so many millions of times, and it felt like there were 50 levels to me because I kept dying so much. But that's totally cool. That tells you it's a good game, that I keep coming back to it.
The game's not long; it's like 13 levels. So, like,
that's
awesome. Made it through the demo, you made it through like 25% of the game.
Very awesome. Awesome. Cool. I did it. No, that's cool. I'm excited. It's awesome. It's great. The style is cool. It's totally memorable game. Nice. So definitely.
I wish I was like more like aware when like the demo stuff came out. I got my COVID shot, you know, the morning of the Nintendo stuff.
Did you go to Ford Field or did you?
It was, I keep almost calling it Kobo. It was TF. TCF.
Oh, TCF. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
But like, I was out of it. By the time like the Nintendo stuff happened, like I felt like nauseous and like I had a headache. I had to go lay down. I was on my phone, like trying to reply to people, and they're like, "Oh, it's so dope." I'm like, thank you. I don't know what's going on. I pass out for like 2 hours and wake up and see all the like my phone's blowing up with people who like just caught the stream saying, because they didn't know. So it was cool, but I kind of wish I just like got my COVID shot like a day before or a day after or something like that.
Yep. Know that feeling. JJ, you went through it. I know a couple of the folks on our staff are going through right now. So yep. Can put you out. Sweet. So awesome. I think it's, you know, it's always cool. It's always cool. Great talk to Dev. Great talk. What are you using? Are you using Unity? Are you using Unreal? Are you using combination? Unity. Okay, cool. That's awesome. So, you just finished up some of the Persona games. I'm gonna ask JJ real quick. We'll move on to some of the stuff we've been playing, and then just plug a couple things from the news, and then we'll call it a nice earlier night. JJ, what are you playing?
I'm fully engrossed into my Resident Evil bullshit right now. I'm just
all that Resident Evil stuff that was announced today.
With Village coming out, I'm just like, you know, I could go. I need to prime myself for Resident Evil. I need to get myself into that edge space because, like Resident Evil 7, I played that in its entirety in VR. and it's the only time I ever played it, and that like drained me.
It's terrifying like, in VR. Yeah, terrifying.
Yeah, I was emotionally exhausted by the time that game was done. So now I'm just playing it like normal, like a normal human being should be playing Resident Evil 7. And I'm playing the Resident Evil 2 remake at the exact same time. Like I'm popping back and forth between those two.
Oh, wow.
It's weird how like different but similar those two games are. Like just to see UI prompts that are identical mm-hmm. back and forth between the two is super, super strange. But I was watching the Resident Evil stuff today, and my hype level is through the roof for that game. The new Mercenaries mode, so excited for all that stuff, and now Resident Evil 4 in VR is coming out. Which
that's you have an Oculus too, right? That's
I do have an Oculus too. Nice. So I just saw that, and I was like, "Fuck, they're gonna make me play Resident Evil in VR." That's gonna
kill your battery.
Yeah.
Yes, it will. But
I'll have to play it too.
Yeah, I will play the hell out. Luckily, Resident Evil 4 is exponentially less terrifying than 7 is.
Yeah.
So
is it though? In VR, I can see it being a lot more scary.
I can see it being a lot more scary, but the way 7 is built around a first person camera, so it really is just trying to focus you into a very narrow field of view. They really play into that a little more than 4, which went to a little more. It's not really an action game, but everyone wants to call it an action game, but it definitely went in a more action route. So the scares
you do more actiony tasks.
Yeah. So this I am not looking forward to doing any of the Ashley stuff again in this, but this time I get to experience it through his eyes directly. Like, no, crawl through the hole.
I wonder how that's gonna be like, because I didn't like that portion of the game really. And it was a little more tedious.
The late game stuff gets a little more tedious, but like I still I'll be interested.
You could wait to E3 and just play the remake that's probably gonna come out.
That's right. You're right. Yeah.
It's always weird when you see stuff like this, because clearly it's there's new assets and stuff in here, but like, so clearly like, is this stuff that's going to like be in the remake that we all know that is absolutely coming? Or I'm assuming
it's probably already done.
Yeah, it's probably already. Yeah. I assume it and like a Code Veronica remake are like in the can, ready to go, or at least close enough to get that out there. Code Veronica is the one that sort of needs the update more than 4 at this point.
Sure, a lot of people are asking for that one. Yeah,
4 is like a lot longer than the previous two ones, though. Unless they get rid of all the Ashley stuff and the vampire, or was he a vampire? You know, the little Goblin King dude.
Yeah.
If they cut all of that out, you know, they can probably do like 6 hours.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I want to complain. I want to complain.
Just Wesker and, you know, that army dude chasing you in with the cool knife fight.
Yeah.
As long as I get that and the rooftop ending. I think, you know, give me those. We're good.
But yeah, no, Resident Evil is pretty much... that and PGA 2K21.
Nice. Wait, nice.
that because last week they had the, you know, Aaron and Jeff were teasing their golf showdown that never happened.
Oh, that's right on the site. Yeah. Jeff Grubb and Aaron were gonna
That never happened, but
we're gonna have to get Jeff back on the show to explain why he didn't play, why he slept in. That dude's the busiest person.
Yeah, but it made me say, like, I like golf games. I should download that one. It's like dirt cheap right now anyways.
It's yeah, it's true.
$20 on Steam. So I was like, yeah, all right, I'll play 2K. Whatever. I always want to say 2K, like, 1. Like, I'm like, it's like, I got it on the Dreamcast. No, 2K21. So yeah, that's a really good game. And
I'm curious when they get next year with Tiger and even later this year. I don't know when the Tiger Woods stuff comes in.
Yeah, I mean, because it's already got PGA branding and it's already got a player branding stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine it changing a whole. I hope there's more official courses.
Sure.
Because like the cool part about it, because like, you know, this is the golf club.
It's the game, yeah, the golf club, yeah.
And so the heart of that game was the course creator. They give you really in-depth tools, and people are just making like one-to-one recreations of like your local golf course or whatever. Like, you know, I live in the town where they had the Open one time at Chambers Bay. And so like, I can, you know, that's, I don't, I can go to that golf course, but I'm not good enough at golf to like sit there and play on that golf course. So let me just play the course here. So I hope like they have more official courses
next
time around, because there's only like a handful in this one, like 8 official courses or something. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm hoping for that.
This is the longest I've ever talked about golf in my life. Nothing against golf.
The thing about golf is there's not much to talk about with golf. It's a pretty straight, the entire concept is pretty straightforward. And once you sort of like, yeah, okay, there we go. That's golf for you.
if there was never like a NBA street, or, you know, the EA, sports or street type version of that sport, I've never been interested in.
There's an idea actually there. I think there's something there. What is like, what was
street?
PGA Street.
Now see,
yeah.
I like that.
But that's the thing, like, because it's 2K.
There's your next. All right, I'm gonna contact Mr. EA and get him in touch with Neil to develop PGA Street.
No, it's 2K. So 2K does the playgrounds stuff. They have the NBA playground and the WWE battlegrounds.
Yeah.
So PGA playgrounds or something.
Maybe.
No, they need to bring back that street brand.
Bring the
street. I 100% agree in bringing back
NBA Street Volume 2.
That was so good. Oh, God, that was so good.
That stuff was so good.
What was the? Was it?
They're better than live games.
The GameCube one where you could like play as Mario.
that was Mario Strikers.
No, but there
they had
like,
Street.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was NBA Street.
Yeah.
Just, it's just Mario in it.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, they loved doing that back then, like how they put like, you know, oh,
and DDR
that
with Mario.
Yeah,
that logo, it was like throw on the screen. It was like 2 a.m. in the morning. It'd be like, what was it? EA, get in the game or something like that.
It's in the game.
Yeah. It's in the game or something like that. And that sound effect, man,
that stuff is always infinitely more interesting to me than the simulation stuff. Like, I would much rather play NBA Jam, NBA Street, NFL Blitz over like Madden. there's just something like, I understand the core concept of this. I just want to have fun. I just want to like, I want to bend the rules of the sport till it's almost unrecognizable sometimes.
Yeah, you might as well just watch it on TV at like some point, because it's going to be so realistic.
Yeah,
there we are, right there.
Yeah, beautiful. There we go.
That's it. Love it.
That stuff is so good.
It's a good game.
It's so weird that arcadey stuff is just sort of like gone. Nobody's making that kind of like.
I love those games, man. I would go to like my local, the local mall over here. We had this thing, the mall here that where I grew up is called Lakeside Mall, and there was like. We had this arcade there. It was called Tilt, which is like the perfect name for an arcade. And there'd be NBA Jam on one side. Right next to it was the, what was the NHL version that they made? They made like
Slapshot.
Blitz, NFL with Blitz, hits. NHL Hits. Yeah, all those games were out there. Like just the crazy arcade version of sports games. And they were awesome. Through like $20 as a kid.
But I played Blitz.
Seriously.
It was good.
Yeah. Good stuff. What else you play?
The power up and the
power. The power. Oh,
No. There's just something so like satisfying about like I only kind of have to understand the nuance of the sport to really get in here and just wreck house.
Love it.
I'm still playing Balan Wonderworld.
I'm so sorry, dude.
Yeah, do not recommend it. But I can't. Put it away. I don't know. It's so bad.
It's like the train wreck. You got to watch the train wreck till
the bitter end. I'm going to be into this game. It has to have been a phone game.
That's the rumor that Zach was saying. Probably started off as a phone game that ended up as a.
It's so console. Weird because like nothing's good in it. Like it doesn't look good. It doesn't play good. It doesn't sound good. And
Like, it's destroying somebody's like hopes and dreams out there.
This is the guy that made Sonic the Hedgehog. He's not allowed to just make an okay. It's not even an okay game. It's just so everything's a suit based power up, You can't just like it's like you know in Mario or any video game you hit the block, you hit the capsule, whatever, you get the power up. This one has this convoluted. Everything's locked behind a key. You have to go get the key to unlock the power up. That's a good idea in theory, except the key is never more than two or three steps away. Like, it's like, okay, jump, got the key and back. And there's no like pitfall in the way or anything. It's just like useless tasking for you to just like, it's just another step to get the power up that kind of only barely functions. And if it does and a lot of them are just straight ripoffs of like Odyssey power-ups and things like that. Mario, different Mario power-ups. There's the one in Mario Odyssey. Remember the one where you're the plant and you like rise up?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You keep growing or something. Yeah.
That exact power-up is in this game. Wow. Like all exactly the same.
Copy-paste.
Yeah, except the jump that it does is completely impotent. So it's like, I don't even know what the point of it is other than to just make your head a little taller in the world. It's a mess of a game, and I'm trapped in it at this point. And it's a musical.
Oh, that's so right, like, too. It's like a musical.
Yeah, okay. So like when you beat like...
Oh, is this the game with the weird-looking character with the hat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard about, that game.
Because everyone unanimously says what has happened.
I feel like in games we got to get used to like if we don't like something, we'll talk about it. That's always been my thing. Like if I don't like someone or something, I'm just the worst thing I could do is not talk about it.
Yeah, it just completely like
that's
yeah.
True, that's a good point.
It's true.
If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, right? Yeah. Is that what, like?
No, it's just gamer, like, most gamers' critiques are trash. Yeah. Like, they don't
understand. Yeah.
They'll say, I don't, they'll basically take your game and say, why isn't it like this other game?
Well, that's a great point. It's a great point.
And that's the only argument that's ever been made with gamers is like, if you boil down, you can go to a forum, any forum. Look at the top argument of why they're complaining about the game. They say, well, Call of Duty did it this way.
There's so many, like, they don't understand why they don't like it other than the fact that they just don't like it. It's like, it's okay to just not like something. You don't need to, like, dig into your soul and find a very specific, pointless reason why you don't like it because it's like, oh, well, it's like, it's a first-person shooter, so... Doom does it this way, so why doesn't this game do it this way or whatever?
It's just they don't need a reason. Like, if they don't like something, it is totally fine to be like, I just don't like it. I wasn't feeling it. That's all you have to say. I know my game isn't for everybody. It's a runner, I've told people that multiple times. I'm like, this game ain't for everybody. That's why I have a demo. Try it out. If you like it, buy it. If you don't, hey, more power to you. There's a bunch of games out there.
Yeah. Thank you for making a side-scrolling runner, because everyone likes to make those 3D over-the-shoulder runners like exclusively, and like I love endless runners. Like endless yours isn't endless, obviously, but like I love the feel of it. You do a good job of giving a sense of like locomotion, of speed and stuff in it too. So
it's only because it was so short, because if it was a lot longer,
it'd be a little more difficult. Like I appreciate all of that. Sometimes I don't need it to be a 4-hour experience or anything. Like this, it seems like it has the makings of being a game that I will personally love and
reward. You don't want an 80-hour runner RPG.
It's like they put out that Crash
Bandicoot. Upgrade your shoes.
They put out that Crash Bandicoot one very recently, and it's just like
on mobile, right?
Yeah, and you're just playing it. It's like it's competent, but also like this clearly they want you to be playing it for 80 hours and mm-hmm. I have to unlock the skunk outfit for Crash. I can't wait.
Yeah, it goes to that logic of like, which do you want like TV episodes that are really good 30 minutes or a okay hour?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I always go with the like, hey, give me a solid 30 minutes, no commercials. Yeah. That I just enjoy the whole way through.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Give me 10 great episodes instead of 24.
Yeah.
Awesome. So Balan Wonderworld, that's the last we'll be hearing about it from you, hopefully.
This is it. I'm enjoying it in that weird sense. I love I've always been a sucker for just like this kind of thing where it's like, this is clearly a very bad game by a very competent developer with quite the pedigree behind him, and something mm-hmm. went wrong clearly throughout time, but it's fascinating, and I'm not hating on it for like, I mean, because I think I have a feeling everyone knows that, like, even they did, because remember when the demo came out and they had all the complaints and they're like, we can fix like the controls and stuff, but the decisions that were made have already mm-hmm. been finished in mm-hmm. the game, which is a lot of like, oh, the studio isn't going to let them like actually fix the game that they know is broken at this point. It's Square Square wants mm-hmm. it out the door, and here it is now.
Whatever gets attention off of Cyberpunk.
There you go.
Because I'm so sick of people it was almost a joke. I would wake up and see like multiple, this is why Cyberpunk's like terrible. We keep talking about it.
Yes.
It's like, we know that happened in December. We're done.
And it's not even it wasn't even so much that it's a terrible game, because like on PC, it was fine.
I played on PS5. I liked it a lot.
I had a lot of problems.
It crashed every 3 hours on me.
Yeah.
It was a consistent crash, so
you can time it. See, I gotta stop playing it 3 hours.
At least the checkpoints were relatively forgiving enough to not really make it too painful.
But I feel like the game's media is like, oh, we got blood in the water, and just wouldn't stop. It was ridiculous. Every other day, it was just some new giant story about some bug or somebody, trying to sue them or something like that.
It's when you start giving when the games blogs in particular start just like compiling news stories about here's what fans think about, and just
there
like start
that's the
the copying and pasting of like tweets into like an article and just going like, my job is done today. At least like it's one thing to like delve into the system of what caused the problems with it or something. It's another thing altogether. It's just like, it's a broken mess, and here's all the funny things that everyone was saying about it. Like,
it was a catch-22. I generally believe it was almost a setup, because like people like have such short memories, because I remember that last delay that Cyberpunk had, that they said, yo, we're pushing it back again. And everyone said, if this game gets delayed one more time, I'm not buying it.
I remember hearing that.
Said that they were pushing that so hard, saying this game would never come out if it gets delayed one more time. And like, what were they supposed to do? Like, I would have put the game out too, even if it was like, if it had major issues.
Yeah. They're being pressured by, the retailers and everything at the same time.
Investors
are angry. And they were set up to fail with what ended up happening. It's like, because remember back in the day, especially with PC development, it was perfectly reasonable for it to be, it's done when it's done, and mm-hmm. never tell anyone an estimated release date until it was like about to go gold, basically. But like now,
I'm okay with it. If we go back to that, I'll be totally fine with it.
Because
I'm good. I'm cool. Remember Fallout 4?
It's
like 3 months before it was coming out. I was oh, that's amazing.
That's great.
But like people said, Cyberpunk needed a whole nother year. Imagine if they delayed it a whole nother year. It would have been bloody murder.
The same level of outrage that happened with it because it came out and was broken would have been the same level. It would have just been the same. Like, the outrage level would have been identical either way. So it's, I think, obviously, in hindsight, they probably should have just went with the outrage of
the PC release.
If it was just a PC release, as CD Projekt Red they've always been a PC company. Mm-hmm. I think people would have been disappointed, but not, and there would have been angry people, but I don't think it would have been like universally like outraged as like, yeah, it's coming to PC. You can play it on PC. It's going to be great there. We still need to cook it in the other a little longer.
It still would have been bloody murder.
Yeah.
But it would have been,
you know,
they would have
controlled it a little better. Yeah.
They would have saved a little more face in the end.
Yeah. And then say, hey, we got some giant like bugs that we need a year.
You're going to have to, we're CD Projekt Red. You're going to have to trust us when we tell you this game ain't ready for you, for your game console. Mm-hmm. Trust us. Because remember,
ready for the PS5, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just like last gen, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Outside of the crashes, obviously some of the other stuff, like the AI tracking and like the way the cars were like just on a set path, like little things like that. Like that was just deeper problems that as a CD Projekt. Yeah. As a CD Projekt Red game goes, they fixed them along the way. Remember, like their first game, like the original Witcher game, when it came out, was almost unplayable. Like everyone complained about how bad it played, how the controls were terrible, that they eventually had to like rework it from the ground up and release it as the enhanced edition. And like it wasn't until like Witcher 3 where they became the company that they are now, where they have this pedigree, which is funny to think about because.
Whoa. Witcher 3, you remember like Wizards 3 original, the original game?
The original game?
It looked completely different. Yeah, like the UI was different, the outfits were different, the intro was different.
Yeah, it was practically a different game. It's like, but yeah, it's like everyone just kind of forgets that part of of this studio's sort of like lineage. So it's so weird. By and large, like, you know, Cyberpunk is a fun, cool universe and game to play in. It was an overpromise, underdeliver in some things. But I also understand that this company is always going to be plussing the game up. So it being how it was when it launched, like outside of like the fact again it was crashing and it was unplayable on a PS4.
That upgrade system is the most interesting upgrade system.
I like it a lot. It's so good.
It takes you a second to understand it, but once I got it, I was like, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just started dumping all my points into the right categories, and I was like, man, I need this every RPG. Like just copy and paste this.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you also like it's. I'm bummed that they have to focus so hard on appeasing people now that we're just kind of losing out on what could be more of this game for who knows how long at this point, because this month or next month, we're supposed to be getting the PS5 and Xbox Series X versions of the game for download or whatever. Yeah, and now it's just like,
that's not going to happen. Leave it. Yeah. Let's move on here real quick. Anything else you've been playing, JJ?
No.
All right.
I've talked more than enough.
Well, for me, I've been today. This is like crazy for a lot of people. A lot of folks know I work in the auto industry full time. It's just a crazy work week right now. So I've been like driving back and forth across like the Metro Detroit area from like one end to the other. And then like I'm kind of making like shapes on all the roads here, which I haven't driven this much in like a year. And so I haven't had a chance to stay home. So I've taken this guy, you know, I take the Switch with me to play games and stuff. And obviously Bravely Default 2, I won't get into that. I've been playing that obviously still. I'm almost at the end though. But Pac-Man 99, started playing that. And I'm surprised at how much I'm actually enjoying Pac-Man 99. Like it's real shallow. I mean, it's like, it's Pac-Man. I mean, Pac-Man isn't like this great, deep game, but it's got some interesting twists to it that I'm kind of digging.
It's got its DNA with the championship edition games.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are the best Pac-Man games that have ever been made. So,
yep. So I mean, I'm surprised, you know, it's just, I like those kind of Battle Royale online games on the Switch. Tetris 99, Mario 35, and Pac-Man 99. So I think that's good for me. I love those. And then we got that review code for What the Dub, which is sort of like the Jackbox style game. And I've posted a few videos on my Twitter feed. But it's freaking hilarious. So essentially the way the game works is they play a video clip. It's usually like older movies from like the 30s and 40s and 50s and stuff.
Public domain, baby. Don't have to pay.
Yeah,
anybody.
Public domain movies. And then they'll have a caption running of what the characters are saying. And then they'll have like a section where it says, you know, voice unheard or voice is muted. And then it asks you to kind of caption it for yourself. So it'll be like, one of the video I have going on, you know, is that I have on my Twitter feed right now is basically like these two guys are on a space station. It says command station to spaceship Trissy. You were right. Confirmed. And then you plug in your text. Everybody plugs in their text. And then it actually plays. It goes through it and plays with this awesome text to speech. Like it does a really good job at interpreting it. Oh, and wow. It makes it sound like they're actually saying something. And like the one video my daughter right away threw out, congrats, you won an SUV and now we need your credit card info, you know. And there's like stuff like that, and you don't know, obviously you don't know who writes it, just like any type of those, you know, any of those party games. But and you all vote on your favorite and that kind of stuff. It's very simple. I'm super surprised at how well it works, and it's become like the go-to family game. We've been playing it almost every night because it's just stupid, easy, funny. I have a feeling that, you know, it'll be great to play with friends if I can ever, you know, get humans in contact again. But so that's what I've been playing, those two games. It's kind of fun.
I was going to ask, I was like, why is it called What the Dub when you're clearly subtitling it? But
Okay,
it's got text-to-speech.
It's got text-to-speech. Surprisingly good, surprisingly good. Yeah.
So it's Mystery Science Theater 3000. But
exactly. Yes. Jackbox. So we mentioned there isn't a lot of stuff. News-wise, the biggest thing was there's a bunch of delays this week. I'm not going to go through every single one. I know Deathloop was delayed. A bunch of other stuff was delayed.
Man,
but
Deathloop was delayed. I'm so sad that the game that was coming out the same time as my game got delayed.
There you go.
I am heartbroken.
So there you go, everybody. You can pick up Never Yield. But no, what I was going to say, I mean, we mentioned on the last few episodes, I think every episode we talk about every game that's getting delayed to later in the year. It's been the indie devs, the indie games that have really kind of stepped up, and it's really put more like spotlight on the work that like people like you, Neil, are doing. That is like, crap, you know, there's no new game. Yeah, there is. There may not be like, you know, the quadruple A blockbuster. I think that's a new term, right? Everyone's using quadruple A, but we have a triple A blockbuster in Never Yield that's coming out at that time too. But you know, it's just kind of cool. There you go.
No, double A.
It's cool. There you go. Triple I, right? That's the indie thing is like triple I. But no, it's been cool to see like the indie side of things really step it up, because I've bought way more indies over the last year than I've bought like triple A, you know, like a big budget, I should say, big, highly marketed games, because the indie stuff is just so fascinating. It's like, yeah, okay, Deathloop's delayed, bummer, but you know what? Never Yield is out, and you know, there are like all the games that were announced during the Indie Direct yesterday and throughout the last few weeks and months. Like there's tons of cool games out there. So it may be it may not be great for the folks that were expecting some of these giant, ginormous games, but yeah. There are plenty of games, and now people are actually gonna be able to be exposed to a lot of these games by, you know, smaller dev groups that are able to, you know, to shine. So I think if anything, it benefits like getting the spotlight on devs like you.
Yeah, the bigger games need to learn the lesson anyway.
There you go. Yeah. We just talked about this with Cyberpunk.
Just a little bit,
Yeah, because they, like, you know, the little games always, you know, got, you know, second choice, third, if that. But I feel like this past year with, you know, less games coming out, people really got to go back and, you know, pick up some of those really cool indie games. Mm-hmm. I keep telling everybody, play Bloodroots.
Yes, I played it on the Switch. Yep.
Man, I like that game so much. Yep. Yeah. But you know, just the indie games, they're the different ones. If you want to, you know, play as, you know, standard protagonists shooting standard bad guys, then, you know, sure. But you know, that's literally every AAA game.
I wish Nintendo does all these like indie showcases and stuff, and I wish that stuff would translate to the storefront a little better. Like,
figure out the eShop. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't see Doom right at the top.
It's like, okay, so top sellers is just going to show you, like, the first five choices are going to be like Minecraft and every Mario game and what else. And it's like,
yeah, it should be like trending, you know.
Yeah, they should be trending. And they're, you know, they have a focus on indie stuff. They've done several of these indie showcases before. Just have an indie showcase tab, like, just or let me check a little box or something in the filters that just says indie showcase or something. Mm-hmm. Something like, because like you go to new releases and it's just like, some days it's like nothing and some days it seems like everyone hit the publish button at the exact same time.
I gotta tell you, it ain't up to the game.
I was
just as surprised as the release date of my game as you all were.
Well, with that said, make sure everybody hops on the eShop or whatever their digital platform of choice is. Check out Aerial Knights, Never Yield. I think it's going to be awesome. It looks awesome. Try the demo out. Like you said, try the demo out. It may be your bag. You may not be interested in it. You're going to be interested.
It takes like 15 minutes, you know?
It's awesome.
Free content. Who cares?
It's cool.
You're not hurting my feelings. I don't know.
I love it. Neil, thank you again so much for hopping on with us. It's been awesome to chat with you. Rant. Yes. Anytime you want to rant, you're always welcome. Always welcome.
I love me a good rant. So
there you go. And where can we find you for anybody that's maybe joining for the first time? Where can we find you?
Oh yeah. Just check out Twitter. At @Aerial_Knight.
See right there.
And just Google that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just everywhere.
Excellent. Excellent. And obviously, you can find, just do a search for Aerial Knights, Never Yield. And it'll take you right to him. JJ. Thank you again. Where can we find you?
_J on Twitter and DisneyCompendium.com, or type that into wherever you get a podcast. It'll show up.
You guys just did one on Frozen, didn't you?
Frozen just came out today.
Yeah.
Nice. And last episode was our April Fool's episode, which
I really had fun
doing. we just stayed in character the whole time as a really like obnoxious NPR team. seriously treating the Disney family like made for TV movie Mr. Boogity as if it were
The
Exorcist or something, just treating it like it's a genuine horror classic or
something. That was me watching the Disney movie Sunday night on local ABC affiliate here in Michigan. It was like
Michael Eisner coming out there. It's a hell of a movie.
Excellent. And you can find me at Dolly Domofsky all over the place. I think my name tag somewhere.
There you go.
I found it. the camera's mirrored. You can find us at SideQuesting, sidequesting.com, SideQuesting TV on Twitch, but you're probably watching us in one of those areas already. Again, check out Aerial Knights, Never Yield, and it's been awesome. Thank you again. We look forward to chatting again in the future and finding out how everything's going with the game.
Yeah, come buy the game. Give me money.
Buy the game. Awesome. Take care. Thanks again. Take care, everybody. We'll see you in the next episode of The Side. Choices kill my head for the day now.